It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host, owner and founder of Cannabama the CBD Store. I'm already starting off with a stutter, y'all. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And our website is www.cannabama.com, CannaBama.com. If you need us, let us know. There's tons of different ways to get in touch with us. We're also on Facebook under Cannabama : the CBD Store. And then on Instagram, we're at Cannabama, and my personal page is Jennifer Isabel Boozer on Facebook and at Cannabama Jen on Instagram. We have Twitter. We don't really use it, although we might jump in that game now. I've enjoyed all the Elon Musk agreed to buy Mobile, Alabama for like $3.95 and a old moon pie or something. They're getting a little out of hand. Anyway. So you can find us on social media, you can find us online, you can call us, or you can come and see us. And of course, you can listen to us every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Reggie Pulliam, who is running for House of Representatives for District 95. And he is running a little bit late, so we're going to talk about current events first while we wait for him. And so the first thing that we've got going on is Wednesday night, I'll be doing a podcast live from the store called Off the Rock. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that podcast, but it'll be live streaming, and we'll be inside Cannabama with John Rocker, the host. And I think that's at 8:30 on Wednesday night, and I'm sure you can find it on Facebook as well, Off the Rock Podcast. They are nominated for a Nappy for best local podcast. And I'm not mad at them because I didn't get that nomination. But no, we're a radio show and a podcast. So, you know, I think we spread ourselves too thin on those categories. But one day we'll win a Nappy for this show one day. We are finalists for the Nappy for Best CBD Store in Mobile and Baldwin County. So the voting starts again on the 4th, which is Wednesday. So we would appreciate your support. I looked at the list of other finalists, and I'm really sad to say that, well, I went through and thought, well, that one has a radio commercial that bashes my business. This one tells their customers I'm under federal investigation. This is not a good group of people. We have to win this. We have to on principle, you know, because we're not trying to claw up anybody else's bootstraps. The bootstraps are ours. So, yeah, I think that we have gone above and beyond for the community, and the community always backs us up. And this will be our third Nappy out of four. So I'm really excited about that. If you guys want to go on votenappies.com, starting Wednesday, you can vote one time per day per email address and vote for Cannabama the CBD Store under the retail category, pretty much down at the bottom by the vape stores and the pharmacies and stuff like that. So we would appreciate your support on that. If you listen to Sweet Home Cannabama, and we didn't get nominated for a radio show or podcast, but you can throw that support on us as a business, that would be much appreciated. So anyway, I'm just super proud that we won it the first time. And now, you know, this is our third go at it. And I just think that speaks volumes of, you know, all the statistics and data we don't have about what kind of impact we're making. But, you know, the goal is to teach one everywhere we go. So anyway, Thursday on Cinco de Mayo, Cannabama has always had a tried and true tradition of having CB de Mayo. So we usually have a nice sale and do some fun stuff like that. I may give away some gift cards to my new favorite Mexican place that I discovered has a location in Fairhope, so you don't have to go all the way to Pensacola. But I may do that. But I will be set up at the River Shack, this great place that we have. I don't know if it's just new or if I'm just dumb, but I didn't know it existed. And I'm driving down Dauphin Street the other day, like a week ago, and I'm stopped in front of Moe's. And these guys were coming out, and there was a camouflage limo parked in the street on Dauphin Street right there next to Moe's. And the guy saw my Canabama label on the truck that I'm driving, and he says, "Hey, call me at the River Shack. We need to do some stuff." And I'm like, "Well, okay." And the light turned green, and I drove off. I don't know who he was. So I messaged them. But anyway, they invited us to participate in Cinco de Doggo, which is apparently a Cinco de Mayo-themed dog event. And they're going to have drink specials, food specials. And they're doing it in memory of someone named Miles Davis. I don't know the backstory, but I will find out what it is. May the 5th, 7 p.m., there is a dog costume contest. So it says, bring your dog in their best Cinco de Mayo outfit. Oh, I got to get Marty in on this. Oh, it's going to be so fun. But they're having Hush Puppy Spa from 3 to 7. Bring your dog and get groomed by Hush Puppies. And Justin Wall will be performing live music, and then there's karaoke afterwards. So Canabama will be there. We're going to set up our new pop-up. We're going to bring dog treats and dog toys. We got all our little joints and blunts and little toy nuggets that squeak. And we're gonna have some human treats, too. So, you know, we can't leave the owners out, because I'm sure, like, Marty's going to need a Delta 8 gummy before it's over. He is terrified of dogs that are bigger than him. So anyway, come join us on Thursday night at the River Shack. That's Cinco de Doggo. Doesn't get any cuter than that. And then I wanted to give a shout out. There was a little girl that's not named, but apparently a student at Loxley Elementary School. They had some sort of a science fair thing, and she did a project called Save the Trees, and it's all about how hemp can be used in industrial applications to replace cutting and wasting our forests and trees. And she's so little and so cute. I was just telling my producer, Phil, the eighth graders at Saraland always have an eighth grade science fair, and then they have the regional winners and all. And I have been waiting 4 years for my daughter to get to the eighth grade, because mama was going to get in on this. And do you know they didn't do it this year? I'm like, wow. Somebody said, hey, Bella Boozer. Bella Boozer's in the eighth grade this year, y'all. We got to cancel the science fair. Anyway, kudos to Loxley Elementary School for posting that on Facebook and not hiding it in the background. And then, do we have time for the Walmart thing? Okay, real quick. I know y'all hear me say all the time, everything we eat, we drink, we bathe in, we rub on, we breathe in, everything around us is poison trying to kill us. Everything is toxic. I've even brought up the question, is there real food anymore? You know, like, does some grandma have like 75-year-old seeds in the back drawer somewhere that might yield actual food that wasn't manipulated by man? But this just drives my point home that you can never be comfortable with anything. This is a chat on the Walmart app with a customer, and she's asking about parent choice wipes. Now, my son will be 21 in 2 months, and I used parent choice wipes on him when he was born. So this is 20 plus years ago. These wipes have existed all this time. And she's asking, is there a recall on these wipes? And they said, yes. She said, do you know why? They said, yes. It is due to exposure of metals like arsenic and mercury that can cause permanent damage to a developing baby's brain. Yes, curse word. It just proves my point. And I don't like to find things that prove my point. But you got to look at everything that you're, especially, this is from birth, y'all. Between that and the vaccinations at birth for things like hepatitis, where if the mother doesn't have it, the baby cannot get it. You know, my kids aren't vaccinated. Anyway, that's another show. My kids are super healthy. They don't have learning issues, health issues, allergies to anything, food, environmental. They don't have it. They don't have behavioral issues. And they're just kind of normal. They can be jerks and they, you know, get on my nerves, but they're normal. We'll be back in just a minute with Reggie Pulliam.
Back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, owner and founder of Canabama, the CBD store here in downtown Mobile. We're here now with Reggie Pulliam. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So tell us what office you're running for, what district you're in. Tell us who you are.
Yeah. So my name is Reggie Pulliam. And I'm running for District 95 in the Republican primary. District 95 is Lower Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. By Lower Baldwin County, I mean Fort Morgan, Bonsecure, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Josephine, Perdido Beach, and a little bit of Foley, basically up 59 mm-hmm. and to the east.
All the fun places.
Yeah.
The places we all try to escape to.
They call us the Golden Geese down there.
Yeah, Redneck Riviera.
Yep, God bless us. And keep on coming down, guys. We appreciate
all right.
the tourism. That's
right. Yes, tourism season is in full swing. Yeah. I was down there a couple weeks ago, and it was packed.
Yeah. We're very, very blessed to live in paradise, is what I call it.
Amen. That's one of the reasons we moved here. Yeah. You know, we just got through discussing. We're both from Louisiana. I moved here, when my husband and I decided to relocate. I said, okay, I want to live in Tennessee. Where there's four seasons, but it's still the Deep South.
Right.
Because I can't be a Yankee. I'll get stabbed. I'll bless my heart right into prison. But I said, that or be as close to the beach as we can afford to live and be able to buy a home. And he was, you know, he's an accountant and, you know, there's not a ton of accounting firms down on the beach. Right. So we moved to Mobile. And I have loved Alabama. With all my heart, ever since I have no regrets.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I transferred with State Farm down here from Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 2015.
Wow!
I've met my wife down here, this beautiful little place called Frog Pond in Silver Hill, Alabama, and our child was born in Mobile. So we're as Alabama as we get. She's a preschool teacher.
My mom just retired from teaching K-4 for 30 years.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Takes special people.
It really does.
I taught high school for one semester.
My family are all teachers, and I'm like, no, Mom, I will go to jail.
Yeah.
I will whoop somebody's child, and then when their mama complains, it might get crazy there, too.
Yeah.
I can't.
I taught high school in Tulsa, Oklahoma for one semester. And I actually coached the Gulf Shores High School soccer team for two years.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to do any education or academics. I just,
right.
After work or during work, I went
right.
coached kids with soccer.
Yeah, Isaiah played soccer for Saraland. That was a fun. I thought soccer, you know, soccer in the South Alabama, right. you know what they say.
Right.
But I thought, oh, this is going to be so boring compared to football. It's actually whoops football's tail.
Yeah, it's always going. You always have to be paying attention.
It is 90 to nothing.
You're always moving.
Right. And most of the football players that he was friends with couldn't run a quarter of a half without puking on the sidelines.
Yeah,
it's intense.
It's definitely a different kind of fitness.
It definitely is.
Much more aerobic.
Yeah.
But I played soccer my whole life growing up. There's actually plans. This is not part of the campaign at all. But I really wanted to create a soccer club down in South Baldwin County, be it Foley, Robertsdale, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach.
Because right.
Right now, the kids that are playing, they have to go to Perdido in
mm-hmm.
Florida. They have to come up to Fairhope or Daphne.
Right.
And that's a
45 Isaiah
minute
played
commute.
Mobile United.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Foley, there's nothing
there's
local
nowhere
for
to
you.
Play. Right.
And the booming demographics down there. There's more people moving there than ever so that they could support a full-time soccer club. Plus, OWA's got those beautiful fields
that
they use for college tournaments and whatnot. So,
yeah, we've done tournaments at OWA, and it is nice. It's huge.
Huge. I mean,
there needs to be more soccer fields in the South Alabama area, I think.
World-class fields there in our backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just need locals to support it and have the infrastructure and the teams there.
Right. Well, I know we drove over there a bunch of times to play tournaments, so... Well, so tell us a little bit about why you're running.
Yeah, I've got a unique political story, but I was an undergrad at LSU in 2008 in Baton Rouge,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the bus taking us to campus, and I look at the side of the road, and on the stop sign there's Vote Ron Paul 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, who the hell is this guy? I've never heard about him. CNN didn't tell me about him. Fox didn't tell me about him. The Advocate didn't tell me about him.
Right.
Times-Picayune didn't tell me about him. Let me do a quick search. And so I find this old congressman from Houston, Texas. And I was like, wow, this guy wants to stop the war. He wants to legalize marijuana. He wants to bring common sense to government. This guy's my hero. Why?
Right, exactly.
Where has this guy been?
Why can't he win?
I consider myself an educated person. Why haven't I heard about him?
Right.
And so that really started my political aspirations, and I say aspiration, involvement. I volunteered for his campaign. I started going to city council meetings. I started writing letters to the editor and op-eds and the Times-Picayune,
yeah.
and the Advocate and the LSU newspaper, and being like, this guy is perfect. He's saying something that broadens the political spectrum, whether you're libertarian, Democrat, conservative, Republican,
right.
you should
something
agree.
For everybody.
You should agree with almost everything this guy's
right.
saying. And I'll never forget Jon Stewart of The Daily Show ran a great segment on why people are ignoring Ron Paul. CNN's ignoring him, Fox is ignoring him, MSNBC's ignoring him, everybody's ignoring this guy. But he's got such a grassroots effort,
right?
From young college people. Oh, I mean, mostly college kids, but a lot of people across the political spectrum. And I was like, wow. So he's very inspirational. And in 2012, I volunteered to represent his campaign as well. Then, after I failed teaching high school for my long one semester,
educational career tanked.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
So then I ended up in Washington, D.C., and I worked at a small little think tank called the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation. And I was the dumbest person in every room I went into. I was going against guys at Harvard and Georgetown and MIT and Yale.
Right.
And we had two main goals. And the first goal was to end mandatory minimums for nonviolent drug offenders. Mm-hmm. Because in America, if you get caught with a certain amount of a certain substance.
Right.
There's a mandatory minimum. The judge can't use discretion. The DA can't use discretion.
Right.
It's codified that you have to go to prison for a certain amount of
right.
time.
Right. It doesn't matter if it's the end of a roach that is, exactly. you know, not even a
well,
quarter of a gram.
Yeah, I mean, the substance certainly matters.
Right.
They're not locking people away for 15 years with a roach for
right.
marijuana. But it was weird because everybody in that think tank, there was five of us, we all had different political philosophies, right? So some of us were super liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us were libertarian. And there were some of us in the middle. But we all agreed on the same issues, the
right.
same solutions, which kind of led me to believe that, unfortunately, in our country, we're divided by what separates
right.
us.
Right. I think most of it is just a can of horse crap.
Certainly. Yeah.
Just to keep everyone confused,
yeah,
divide us.
Yep.
So that we don't realize our collective
right.
abilities.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. And the second goal.
And it's really all common sense stuff.
It is. It is. You know, one of my favorite things, and we'll dive in my platform in a second. One of my favorite things is when I hand these people these brochures, they say, I swear to you, the first question is, well, you're Republican or Democrat?
Exactly.
And I was like, hey, it shouldn't matter. Like you're voting for me and these ideas.
Right.
And you know, these the Democrats.
That's
would agree.
Definitely the way it should be.
That's absolutely the way it should be. But unfortunately, our system is not set up like that. And we'll dive into that in a second.
Right.
And the second goal of this was to end felonious labels for the same people. Because in America, if you become a felon, a lot of states you lose your right to vote, lose your right to gun ownership. Certain states you can't even serve alcohol. You can't be a waiter, bartender, server.
Right. And those are really the bulk of jobs are the hardest manual labor.
Right.
And really, there's a lot of restaurants you can't work at.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're...
Only one I know of for sure is Waffle House. We got plenty of those, but we can't, you know, employ the entire population of
right.
former convicted felons.
Alabama leads the nation in waffle houses per capita.
Oh, I'm sure.
Fun fact.
Schillinger has like 17 of them. The one right around the corner is getting completely rebuilt.
And so we're at this think tank, and we're lobbying Congress, and we're begging people. It's like 2012, 2013, begging people about this upcoming opioid crisis.
Mm.
with
I was in the thick of that as an addict.
Yeah. A lot of people, unfortunately, it's so taboo, people don't talk about it, but we were telling Congress there's been a perfect storm. Mexico, the cartels, realized that the legalization of cannabis was coming to the western states. And because of the black market, these cartels are a very ruthless business, but they're a business nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
They were switching up their business model. They said, well, we got to find something else so we can sell our product to. And they said, oh, well, what about heroin? And
right.
within a couple of years, Mexico became the world's second largest producer of heroin.
And now they're shipping fentanyl in and by bricks.
Yep, behind Afghanistan, ironically enough. And then they had the FDA, and very well-meaning FDA, said that pharmaceutical companies had to reformulate the opioids. So you couldn't do the time release and stuff like that. And so if you were addicted to opioids, you couldn't get as high off of them. So you have all these addicts out there, and they're not getting as high anymore, so they're turning towards
heroin.
And heroin is flooding the streets. And we're going with our 72-page white paper to Congressman's office. We're on C-SPAN. We're talking about it. And Congressman didn't want to listen to us. They don't want to spend any political capital on drugs, you know, and it's because it's politics.
Right.
And we didn't have any money behind us.
And I'm sure the Sacklers were throwing money.
Probably.
By the bagful.
Probably. And over the past 4 years, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but more Americans have died from opioid and heroin overdoses than the entirety of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
2021, 20, 19, 18, 17. More Americans have died each year than the entirety of the Vietnam War.
I feel so blessed because I got clean in 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years later, found CBD.
Yeah.
And immediately, because of my history, knew that this was going to turn addiction on its head if I could just figure out how to teach it and get people to listen to me.
Yeah.
You know, because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Why is it the things that make sense are popular? It's like, don't make me run for office.
So after being up there for a year or two, I found my way to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I started off in insurance, transferred down here, and I was done with politics. I just wanted to coach soccer, run my businesses, and then COVID happened. And a lot of my friends, neighbors, mm-hmm. clients, church members, their businesses were ruined.
Mine almost.
Yeah.
We were squeaking
by. And so at that point, I said, it's time for regular people to get involved, people with ideas, people with backbone that won't take government mandates and let it be thrown down our throats.
Okay. When we come back from the break, we're gonna talk some more about Reggie's platform and dive more into what we're doing, and our commonalities, because we do have things in common.
Certainly.
That's why he's here. So stick with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Yeah.
To Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Reggie Pulliam. Tonight, Reggie's running for House of Representatives for District 95 down by the beach. Reggie, tell us a little bit about your platform.
Yeah, I have, you know, I love it when I hand these people my brochures.
It's a great brochure, by the way.
Thank you. My son's got great hair.
yes.
So, and they asked me, like, well, you're Republican or Democrat? And I'm like, well, does it matter? I mean, these are my ideas. And these are ideas that my friends and I have been solving and my colleagues and I have been solving for 15 years at our houses, at the bar stools,
right.
at the businesses we operate. And it's just common sense. And during COVID, seeing the government, in my opinion, very strong overreach based on conjecture, it's like, at what point does it stop? At what point do we as citizens just lay back and take government operations, government shutdowns?
It's maddening, isn't it?
It was,
how much laying down there was. Yeah. It was infuriating to me.
And you know, I try to respect everybody, but I lost a lot of intellectual respect mm-hmm. for a lot of people that I've loved over the years. Now, we haven't had this conversation, but I see what they post on social media.
Right.
And I actually took a sabbatical from social media for 2 years because I was trying to convince people to still come down to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach where my friends have businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was battling people online for hours of the day. And I started getting bad reviews on my businesses. People
right.
found out who I was.
Oh, yeah. They're vicious.
Reviews. And I was like, this is my opinion, man.
Right.
But, it was a whole, and still, I mean, we're still in the throes of it. If you look and see these videos coming out of China about what the Chinese government are doing.
Oh, they're beating people and putting them in cages and stuff.
It's a complete lockdown.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot go out on your porch. Like, you cannot leave your building. And the Chinese government is going by with drones, making sure people are not on their
balconies. That's like War of the World stuff. And there's
great videos. I'm getting goosebumps talking about. There's great videos of Chinese people defying their government and singing on their porches at night.
Oh.
I know it's incredible. After the show, Google it.
I'm gonna have to find that. Yeah,
but I'm not gonna say that's gonna happen in America. But it's a slippery slope. Like, what's to say that the next one that comes through, the government doesn't come with more overreach and say, Walmart and Lowe's, you're okay. But these other businesses, you
right,
can't go in.
Right, but Canabama
in.
And
you can't,
yeah,
you can't
mom
go,
and pop.
You can't go in the store. COVID ends at 9, so you got to stop drinking by 9, and then 10. And the whole
that was the dumbest thing for me. Yeah. Like, yeah. Walmart's open, but only till 11 yeah. now. I personally enjoy 2 a.m. shopping. There's less idiots there. And I've always done that. I was a stay-at-home mom. My kids were asleep. My husband was asleep. I'd be like, peace out. I'm going to the grocery store. And I would spend hours in there. I had insomnia, and I would spend hours in there. But it was so great. And now it's like, oh, well, you'll get COVID at 11:01.
Yeah. And then
and we're allergic to your money.
And this was all done by bureaucrats for the most part, not elected officials. Alabama's top doctor is not appointed by the state. It's appointed by a private board, private medical board. Governor does appoint them. There's no legislative
really?
Oversight. Swear to you. Look it
That's
up.
That's not hinky at all.
No. And it goes to show just what kind of influence these people are getting, you know? And so
whatever that group's agenda is.
Right. And so after all that, you know, my wife and I, we have a beautiful 2-year-old. And it's just like, you know, I know every generation asks this, but like, what is this world going to hold for our children?
Right.
And I feel it's incumbent on me and people like me to get involved. People like yourself, you know, you hosted a wonderful event 2 weeks ago. Wonderful event.
Yeah.
And we need to connect with more people because unfortunately in our society, we're divided by what separates us. So there's a couple of different political issues that come up and you're like, oh, you got to be Democrat or, oh, you got to be Republican. And we disagree on abortion or gay marriage or whatever. We're on different sides. But the vast majority of people, it doesn't matter who you speak with, agree with common sense reform for the people.
Right.
You know, we were talking, Richard Ratner and I, who's the Democrat, no primary for him, he's running the general election. We're talking to a group of high school kids today, and we were talking about Citizens United case and about how these government officials, these representatives, are completely funded by political action committees. And it's legal in America. If you're explaining this election process to a 12-year-old, the 12-year-old just say, like, ah, that sounds like a bribe. Because that's exactly what it
is.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
I took a class about campaigning because
exactly
I was
what it is.
Thinking about running for House for my district. And I learned some stuff. I was like, that sounds not legal.
Yes, but it is legal. It's codified and it's regulated. And Mo Brooks has actually got a really good spiel he gave talking about how political action committees will buy your chairmanship on these different committees.
Mm-hmm.
They will pay for you. And then, of course, you're going
to
kick
everything
back.
You have to be beholden to them.
Yes. And so my first platform, we're going to go through 6 of them pretty quickly, is campaign finance reform.
Yeah.
I strongly believe that public officials should sacrifice. You know, I don't think they should get any money. I think they should fund their own campaigns. And I firmly believe that if we had more honest elected representatives that weren't beholden to these special interest groups, more things would get done for the people.
Right. I think that constituents that are for certain people running, like if I wanted to support your campaign, You know, you're 100% funded by, you know, self-funded.
You know what I'd ask you to do?
I would hold town hall meetings.
Yeah.
I would have you on my radio show. What? I would have you in my business. I would have you at my church.
Yeah. That's what we ask. We ask, you know, put out the signs. here's some brochures. You know, help us spread our message online. It's free to share on social media.
Social media should even the playing field for politicians.
And it has. And I think we're going to show it in our race that my opponent has got $300,000 for this seat that pays $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're running our campaign on about $10,000 to $12,000, and we're going to be very competitive in our race because we are we're being pretty savvy in what
right.
we do. If you go to my website, votereggie.org, every politician's got a donate to us, donate to us, donate to us button up here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Don't Donate to Us. You click that button, it takes you to the Alabama Sheriff Youth Ranch Program, so you can give money to them. So if you have to give money, give it to them. I don't want it. I don't need it.
Good for you.
If you want to help us out, spread the message.
Right.
Spread the message. Make some calls, hang up some signs, do some other things. The second campaign platform of God is the state lottery.
That's a touchy subject.
people get very emotional about this.
Most people are for it, though.
The vast majority of people are.
Yeah.
Florida's got a state lottery. Georgia's got a state lottery. Tennessee's got a state lottery. Mississippi's got a state lottery. Louisiana's got a state lottery.
Yes, we do.
And it all goes towards education for the most part, and it's something that we're missing the boat on. You know, a lot of times with government, the issue is revenue. We don't have enough money to do this. We don't have enough money to do this, blah, blah, blah. We can grow this pie. That pie is not static. You can grow this pie.
And I know where they could get some money.
we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. So I firmly believe that the state lottery should be implemented in Alabama. And I want to say, you know, for whoever's listening, that should not be solely through the Porch Creek Indians. It should be funded by the state.
No,
and that'll be a tough battle up there. They've got some deep pockets.
I'm sure they do because they have a bunch of casinos.
They have a monopoly.
I've stayed in
they
them.
They have a monopoly on gambling in the state.
Yes, good, they do. They now. Own gambling in Alabama, which good for them. But
So the next one I want to talk about is something that is not really spoken about, I don't think, but it's civil asset forfeiture. A lot of people don't know what that is. In America, we were told that you're innocent until proven guilty. Civil asset forfeiture is the opposite. You're guilty until proven innocent. I was talking to high school kids today, and I was like, you know, a lot of you guys are graduating, and you're probably getting money from your parents, your grandparents, your family, your friends, your neighbors, church members, etc. Let's say you go cash those checks, and you have $2,000 on you, and you're going to Taco Bell for your fourth meal. They're bringing back the Mexican pizza. Good for them. Great, great, great
Thank
idea.
Thank God.
No kidding, huh?
Now I can go back.
And you get pulled over, and you've got a joint in there, and the cops are like, hey, where'd you get this money? And you say, well, I just graduated, or I'm graduating. And
they're like, no, you're a drug dealer.
Yeah, well, they say, well, can you prove that? And you say, well, how do you want me to do that? So they can confiscate your cash, your car, your assets.
And
then you have to hire attorneys to go through the legal field. And this sounds far-fetched, but this happens in America every
single day.
No,
I have a customer. They confiscated his vehicle and auctioned it off.
Yeah.
And he beat the charges.
Yeah.
He actually came out of it smelling like a rose.
But he lost his truck.
But he lost his job and he lost his vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then while he was waiting for that to happen, he couldn't get a job because he had pending drug charges, all with a 3.5 of hemp flower from Canabama. You know, I'm blown away by that. And you don't ever really recover from those things.
Yeah, it's a complete travesty.
It is.
So the next one that's really near and dear to my heart is ending the ABC board. The ABC board is awful for restaurants, for patrons, for capitalism in general.
Right.
So I just want to explain real quick. Every restaurant that you go to has to go to a state-run liquor store, buy their liquor, and bring it back to the restaurant. They can't get it delivered. They can get beer and wine delivered, but not liquor. If you own a private liquor store, you've got to go to that same ABC store, buy that liquor from them, and then,
upcharge it
because you have to make a profit. You got to pay tax. You got to pay insurance. You got to pay your employees. You got to pay your capital expenses.
I remember when the only liquor stores I ever saw was ABC stores.
Right.
I've just now seen some that look privately owned, and I'm like, well, how does that work?
Not well.
Yeah.
Because you're competing with the state. And a lot of people don't know that, like, the state is in the liquor business.
Right.
And it makes no sense from a capitalistic standpoint, from a freedom standpoint, from a consumer standpoint. It makes absolutely
From a super conservative, hyper-religious Alabama standpoint, the state is keeping everybody in liquor.
Right. And we're going to dive into this next one, but I absolutely believe in the legalization of marijuana. I'm sure we'll dive into the next step.
Yes, that will be segment four when we come back from our commercial break in just a minute.
But I do want to talk about term limits. I don't believe we should have career politicians. And
no.
I think we should have term limits so the politicians will work for the people rather than the corporations. Because if they're new up there, they probably haven't been bought that much yet. And I think that is something that's imperative in order to save our republic.
Right. Yes. We need to get people out of there that have been there for 20 plus years, right. And we still have no lotto.
Right.
We still have the ABC board.
Yeah.
We still have the asset seizure. We still have the same crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not changing, and people are fed up. But we've got to go beyond, I almost said a curse word, complaining about it. You know what
right.
word I was going to say.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yep.
You
yep.
know,
yep.
tappity tap, do something else, you know. Do something else, you know. And people out there, if you're good at graphic arts, if you're good at making T-shirts, you want to donate some things like that to these people's. Dave Thomas could use some T-shirts,
yeah.
you know. He's yeah. grassroots. Lend your services. Stop complaining and do something about it. We'll be right back with Reggie Pulliam.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the fourth segment of Sweet Home Canabama. I swear, I think it's because I didn't have lunch. I'm just flustered and I keep stuttering. Anyway, we're back with Reggie Pulliam, who's running for the House of Representatives for District 95 down by the beach. Part of Foley, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, Perdido.
Bonsecure.
Yeah, something about
Josephine.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. But that's one of my very favorite parts of Alabama. So anyway,
it's where Pirates Cove is.
Right, it's where a lot of cool things are. I love to go and
those dinosaurs that are out there.
Yeah.
Middle of Alabama.
I love to go eat, like, shrimp basket down there is better than shrimp basket anywhere else. I don't care who you are.
It's a salty air.
And it's the one that's between, like, Orange Beach and Perdido that I like it even better than the teeny tiny one in Gulf Shores. I'm like, holy crap, who thought this was a good idea? Seven people fit in here. And it's in the biggest parking lot full of people. But, no, I love that area so much. So let's round off your platform. We saved the best for last.
Right.
Give it to us.
I firmly believe that marijuana should be legal and regulated because we all should have freedom to choose what we put in our own bodies as long as it's not hurting anybody else. And other states have done this successfully. There's not one state out there that has not done this successfully.
Right. Show me a state that goes, dadgummit,
yeah,
we only made $90 million in 3 months.
Look at all this money. Look at all these people coming here.
We hate it.
Look at all this industry we've created. Look at all this.
Right, all the jobs.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of jobs. And not that, you know, people in our area, there's a huge job loss in our area. There's not enough people to work in
right.
our area. But for the entire state of Alabama, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. And the black market, prohibition has failed. Our
right.
country learned that 100 years ago with alcohol.
Yes.
To see Al Capone and the gangs coming through because people are still going to drink.
Mm-hmm.
The illegality and illicitness of marijuana does not prevent anybody from using marijuana.
Nobody's
afraid to smoke pot because it's illegal. That
right.
is absolutely not the case. Prohibition has failed with marijuana, and it's time that Alabamans, you know, show our support in stronger numbers. Because according to our research, with all Americans, 91% of Americans agree that marijuana should be legal for recreational or medicinal use.
Right, and show me one other subject.
Yeah.
One other topic where 91% of the country's population wholeheartedly agrees. And probably the other 9% think something crazy like, you know, devil's lettuce, murder you in your sleep.
Dude, we've got, I didn't even mention this to you, but we've got some great Facebook people that have said that I am a pothead, druggie, drinker from New Orleans that wants to make Orange Beach and Gulf Shores like New Orleans. And they're posting this stuff about New Orleans politics. And I don't respond to it because it's
I can, from experience, I can say Louisiana's corrupt politics are way worse than anything Alabama's got going on.
And, you know, my poor wife, she sees these screenshots and these people, so she wants to respond and stick up for me. But it's just best to leave those crazies.
Oh, that's fruitless ambition, yeah.
I just tell her, just leave the crazies alone, because there's a lot of misinformation. Sometimes when people have such a very strong idea, you know, they, Reefer Madness was...
The DARE program.
Yeah, the DARE program.
I'm 44. We all grew up with... I just ordered a shirt that has the DARE program on it, ironically. So I'm going to wear it to work.
Yeah. But we
believe things because we were told them our lives, and it's just like being told Jews are like rats, or black people are less than white people, or Mexican people are dumb, or whatever. Yeah. It's not true. Yeah. You've just been told this one thing, and then you see less and less people do their own research.
Right, and then you get ideas that are bursting your bubble. And you act irrationally, emotionally, and that's what these people are doing.
Right.
And my campaign is a campaign of love and information and facts.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that some people are so emotional about it, but it does, like I said, it doesn't bother me. I knew what I was getting into. And so these are all common sense. Like, I don't care. You've heard the platforms. If you're a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, conservative, white, black, you know, female, male, you agree with this platform.
Right.
You agree with these ideas.
Right.
And I think that my opponents will see what a savvy campaign can do on social media with ideas to defeat the big money.
Right.
My opponent has got $300,000 raised and self-donated for the seat that pays $50,000 a year.
Yeah, that makes no sense, except for the policy that will come out of that campaign, and that seat will please those people, and they'll dump more money in the next time.
Yep. And that's what's been going on. And with the advent of social media, there's a lot of detractors of social media. I'm one of them. I took a sabbatical from social media for 2 years during COVID. But I firmly believe that with social media, we can spread ideas and messages and events, like your information about your event.
Right. Well, that's the whole point of the event.
Free.
That's the whole point of this show, is those people are rooted in really bad information. Mm-hmm. I also believe that because of the opioid crisis and the prevalence of addiction since pharmaceuticals became such a highly abused thing in the last 30 years, a lot of people smoke weed when they can't get their pills.
Right.
They smoke weed when they can't drink or they can't get their meth because it keeps their body from being in withdrawal, which is how we help people get off of these things.
Right.
But people will mix in their weed with their heroin and with their things like that because that's their go-to when they run out of their preferred drug of choice. And I think that a lot of family members that are fed up, that have been used and abused, that have lost family members and who are just really fed up with drugs in general, it's easier to lump that in together.
Right,
and with what Narcotics Anonymous says, and what the DARE program says and what the DEA says, it's easy to buy that.
Right. You see marijuana lumped in with drugs as a catch-all.
Right.
But cannabis is a plant.
It's a superfood.
It's a plant, dude.
I teach that it's a superfood.
You know, so when you... Unfortunately, part of it's our government's fault because our government scheduled it Schedule 1,
right,
which means that there's no medical benefits, which is counterintuitive to all the research out there.
Every bit.
And that it's highly addictive, which once again is counterintuitive to all the research
out
there.
And we can easily right here off the top of my head explain that there are no receptors for cannabis in the brainstem near involuntary bodily functions, and it's impossible to be physiologically addicted to it, such as you are with heroin and alcohol and meth and things like that.
Everything else.
Right. Yeah, and it can be used as a crutch just like sex and food and gambling and, biting your fingernails get help.
And not only with its legalization of cannabis imperative, I think the legalization of hemp would go a long way to solving a lot of our natural issues with our environment.
Right.
Hemp,
it's totally sustainable.
Yes. Hemp produces much more stronger things than trees do. It's much more sustainable. You know, instead of cutting down an acre of trees and them taking, 7, 8, 10 years, you cut down an acre of hemp and replant that every couple months.
Right. 120 days from seed to fruition, ready to go. 120 days.
Yeah.
And in an environment like Alabama, you can do that year round.
Right. And hemp is super sustainable. You can make hemp concrete. You can make hemp houses. You can make hemp clothes. You can make hemp shoes. And you do all this in the state. And it's unfortunate that our leaders don't understand this. And you can smoke hemp all day. You're not going to get stoned.
Right.
You're not going to get stoned at all.
And we've had guests on the show that talk about hempcrete insulation, these grant projects and things like that. We've had people, we've talked about hemp wood flooring and insulation and textiles. And, we, you know, that's the whole point of this, is to combat those people who are staking what they believe and their opposition and their fervent attack of people like us on bad information. Because a lot of times those people have medical needs. They, you know, they might need jobs. They might need whatever benefit they were going to get.
They might need cannabis. They just don't know, and they're so afraid of it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Most, well, because I know that God made them with the same ECS as me, the endocannabinoid system, they do need cannabis. Right. They just aren't aware of it because they think it's the devil.
Yeah,
and it's really sad. It's like, you know, it's believing that if you say Candyman in the mirror five times, a guy's going to come and kill you with a hook.
As time marches on and younger people are growing into positions of power and influence in our area, in our state, in our country, in our on our planet,
right,
you're seeing those ideas erode with every passing day, year, month.
Right.
And so a lot of people are, you know, on board with this. Whether they want to speak about it publicly or not, they're on board with this. And I'm not afraid to speak up, but publicly, I have an insurance agency and construction company. I'm not going to lose any jobs or any clients because I am what you consider pro-cannabis.
Right.
But it's not even so much pro-cannabis. I'm pro-freedom.
Right.
I'm pro-freedom.
Pro-medical choice,
yes,
too.
Certainly.
Well, Reggie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Pleasure.
I hope you win on your own time. Because I think that, you know, I hope Dave Thomas wins on his own steam, because I think that, you know, one or two wins in that category will encourage a lot of people. I chose to say no to running for House of Representatives because I thought, where in the world? Who's going to give me money? Yeah. And I don't have the money. I was in the middle of the death spiral of COVID on my business. Yeah. I'm like, if I need to be raising money for something, it needs to be my living, my store. So I really do. I hope it succeeds. And anytime you want to come back on the show, even if you don't win, let's keep talking about it. Thanks for being with us, everybody, on Sweet Home Cannabama. We'll see you next week.
Thank y'all.